curving necks. On the day that the giraffes came, there was a gentle easterly breeze. Southerly winds might have seemed more fitting, given the geography, but Weather Service sources confirmed and repeated. Easterly winds, 8 knots, slight seas, temperature 12 degrees. Later, everyone could easily recall the date and tell you where they were when they first saw the giraffes. It was a routine morning in every way, except that inhabitants woke to find that a herd of giraffes had settled into the city and showed no sign of leaving. People might have been better prepared for sleet, though sleet in mid-August would have been news enough, or for an earthquake, or even, as the saying goes, for their own funerals, than for coming across a genuine giraffe on their morning commute. Golden brown, long-legged, large-eyed, drooly-lipped. The country's placement on the globe, after all, was such that not even frogs could thrive. And indeed, the city's wildlife selection was limited. Most notable were the sewer rats, perhaps the only fauna that brought to mind the animal life of fabled foreign lands. Yet the breeze was easterly. 8 knots, slight seas. Initial reports differed on how many giraffes there were. Some mentioned 2 families and a lone cow, each with 1 or 2 calves in tow. Others believed there was only 1 giraffe. That gullibility and the gift of gab had multiplied a lone wayward beast. However, after the first state radio news segment on the startling arrival had aired, it became clear from calls to the station that the animals must number in the dozens and had dispersed through the city. Many saw a suspicious pattern in the distribution and feared an act of terrorism. The Ministry for Foreign Affairs felt obliged to formally dispel those rumours and summoned 2 naturalists to a prime-time television news appearance. Simultaneously, an impromptu meeting occurred between the Hunting Commission, public sector animal biologists, and animal control officers, but none present had any particular knowledge of giraffe behaviour, and the species did not fall under the legal domain of any municipal office. The consensus was to monitor the giraffes' movements from afar until their agenda became clearer. But the giraffes proved to have nothing up their sleeves, and no agenda beyond the normal ruminant one: find food, rest, and conduct a simple program of proliferation. And as initial witnesses had rightly observed, the giraffes showed no sign of leaving. The lack of tall trees within city limits soon became awkward. The closest equivalents the giraffes could find in the city were slender light poles that had long since ceased bearing leaves or bark. Potted plants on upper balconies were soon depleted. Animal lovers made radio appeals for nearby or even remote pasturage and volunteered to herd the animals there, but the response was muted. Tree farmers doubted that giraffes had a taste for conifers, nor did they care to yield up their Christmas trees for devastation. Grass, of course, was reserved for sheep. Citizen hospitality somewhat eased the giraffes' adjustment. They, i.e. the citizens, spontaneously began leaving basins and dish tubs of clear water on the balconies and garage roofs. Some even conducted well-meaning experiments and found that an admixture of olive oil was well received, as was, at times, white wine. And gradually people came to find that they could spare the odd head of cabbage or bunch of greens or even microwave popcorn left over from the night before. The giraffes had a truly diverse impact. Gradually, in the presence of giraffes, the heartbeat of the city slowed. Not least because the giraffes ignored traffic lights and signage. In effect, they themselves became traffic signals, as traffic proceeding with a trotting giraffe had the right of way, while a giraffe halted in mid-intersection also brought approaching vehicles to a halt. This was seen as beneficial to residents. Stress-related illness decreased for a while. However, Some lost sleep due to the animals' frequent choice of sheltered sun decks for their loud nightly cud chewing. Home repair outlets recommended camouflaging decks to confuse the animals and sold shades of green paint at discount prices. More foolish advice could scarcely have been imagined. Giraffe tracks in the snow were striking, let alone the rare but impressive sight of the snow-covered animals themselves. In brief, the first snow caught the wretched beasts so unaware. They dared not move for half a day. Photographs taken of those scenes appeared in newspapers round the world. The winter that followed was exceptionally hard. Years later, when the giraffe's visit was cloaked in the mists of folklore, to dream giraffes, especially lame ones, was thought to bode famine and strife. At the time, however, no one was aware of giraffes having any special significance or symbolism in popular belief. And some people were vexed that it wasn't unicorns instead, which, indeed, would have made things simpler.